Wow. Well, we really could go home right now and still tell the truth. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Isn't there something wonderful about Sunday morning when all of God's people have an opportunity to get together and celebrate corporately the worship we've been practicing privately all week long? It's a Sabbath celebration. Now, we've called this summer the Summer of Miracles. We are focusing our faith and we're pressing in for miracles this summer. Many of you need a miracle, not just a pat on the back, bless me, but a bona fide, certified, heaven-sent, God-ordained miracle. And our God still works miracles. We've been looking at the different miracles of Jesus. And today, we're going to look at another one found in Matthew chapter 8 and beginning with verse 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And then in verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, let it be done for you." Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. The New Translation words it like this, and I use it for my title this morning. Jesus said, "Because you believed, it has happened." Because you believed, it has happened. Now, there are several things that cause this miracle to explode with revelation. First of all, this was a centurion. He was not a Jew. In fact, he was hated by the Jews. He was a Roman soldier, and the superpower of the world in that day was Rome and the government of Rome. The Romans had invaded Israel and had occupied militarily God's homeland for his people. So he was an outsider. He was not a Jew, but a Gentile. And not just that, he was hated by the Jewish people. And yet here is Jesus, a Jew, connecting with an outsider. This Roman centurion was a man of authority. He had 100 soldiers under his command in the Roman army. But he was not a Jew. He was one of the people that a New Testament writer referred to as those who were afar off, an outsider to the faith. And yet, in his action, in coming to Jesus and pleading with Jesus to heal his servant, we see great faith where you would least expect it. That needs to ring home to some of you today as you're believing for a miracle this summer. Great faith sometimes appears where you least expect it. And even though this man was an outsider, not even a Jew, hated by the Jews, yet Jesus admired his faith. He even marveled. In fact, his faith was so impressive to Jesus that if it were happening today in our vernacular, Jesus probably said, "Wow," at that man's faith. Now, this miracle is also important, more so than just the miracle itself, but it explains a lot about the things to come in redemption. This miracle was a sign that Jesus was not only the Messiah that the Jews were expecting to come and deliver the Jews, but this miracle is a sign that Jesus would be the Messiah for everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. This miracle was a sign of good news for everybody. Now, the centurion with 100 soldiers under his command, a powerful man, was pleading on behalf of his servant. His servant was in a desperate situation. Listen to these words. His servant was paralyzed and dreadfully tormented. That says a lot, doesn't it? Now, not only do we have a healing miracle here, a physical healing miracle, but a type and a shadow. Much more than a physical body was healed, but spiritually, by performing this miracle, Jesus was looking ahead and giving us hope for the future. Everybody who would come after this man would receive spiritual healing. Many are spiritually paralyzed and spiritually dreadfully tormented. And Jesus is the answer to that too. One translation, it's the Amplified Bible, describes this man paralyzed and tormented like this. Paralyzed and excessively and vehemently tormented. And some people are in that shape physically, need a healing for their body. And many in the world are in that shape spiritually. They are spiritually paralyzed. They're as good as dead spiritually. And they're excessively and vehemently tormented. It is torture to live that way. But this servant was in a desperate situation. And if you're here today in a desperate situation, I mean, you're just desperate for a miracle. This is your summer. And a desperate situation is the perfect climate for a miracle. You've heard me say it before. One of my favorite expressions goes like this. When God wants to do something great, he starts with a difficulty. But when God wants to do something truly magnificent, he begins with an impossibility. So if your situation is desperate, then that's the perfect climate for a miracle. Now, this centurion, this Roman soldier, made a request and got a response. The Bible said he pleaded with Jesus. And Jesus responded immediately with 6 words that changes everything in the story. I will come and heal him. Isn't it great when you get an immediate word from God after pleading with him? I will come and heal him. Now, it's important to notice as this story unfolds, the Roman centurion's response was one of humility. He said, Lord, he called him Lord. Hey, he was a Gentile. He wasn't even a Jew. But he had enough faith to call him Lord. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy. This Roman soldier knew that the law of Moses, the law, the religious law that was governing the Jewish people in that day, would not allow a Jewish person to go into the home of a Gentile. The law of Moses said if a Jew went into the home of a Gentile, that Jew would be defiled and would have to go through the process of being cleansed Levitically. It was a killer. And so, out of respect to all that he knew, which was the law at that time, this Roman soldier said, oh, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve this. You don't even have to do that. I'm not asking you to break any laws for me. I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. The Jew, or this Roman centurion, was actually saying this: I don't deserve this, but my faith tells me to expect it anyway. Now, that's when you get a lot from God. When you're not counting on the law at all, when you realize it's just grace and nothing but grace and all but grace and grace plus nothing, it's just the goodness of God that knows no boundaries toward us. I don't deserve it, but my faith tells me to expect it anyway, because he's good and he's a God of grace. Now, we'll get more from God when we need it if that's our posture. Lord, I know I'm not worth it. I've done nothing to earn a favor from you. But my faith tells me that even though I don't deserve it, I can expect it because of your character and your goodness and your grace. Now, God has a great track record of rewarding people for their faith. You can look at the life of Jesus, the four Gospels that tell his story, and time again, Jesus would see faith at work in somebody and reward that faith. There was the four friends of a man who was paralyzed, bedridden. The man could not help himself. So these four friends put the sick man on a cot and carried that man on a cot who was paralyzed to a home where Jesus was teaching. And the place was packed, about like this auditorium is going to be next Sunday. But the faith in those four friends, they got on top of the roof and said, if we can't get through the door for the crowd, we'll knock a hole through the roof and lower the man down. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he responded. So God has a great track record of rewarding people for their faith. The writer of Hebrews says it like this: he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you're in need of a miracle, this is your time. This is the summer of miracles, and you can plead like the Roman centurion did. You can diligently seek God, and you can know he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I love this part of the story. The centurion said, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. My faith tells me to expect it anyway, even though I don't deserve it. And the centurion said, you don't need to come to my house. Only speak a word. You know. Pardon me if I take the next 10 minutes to shout. I'm a word man. I put all my stock into God's word. If it's in God's word, I choose to believe it. And this centurion had so much faith, an outsider, but so much faith. Jesus said, even the Jewish people, all the Jews in Israel don't have this much. And here's an outsider from Rome. I've not seen this kind of faith in the Jewish people in Israel. I will come and heal him. Man said, no, just only speak a word. The power of the spoken word. The New Living Translation says it like just like this. Just say the word from where you are. Now, some of you need to start right there. Lord, I'm awfully concerned about so-and-so in Arizona, but I'm not there. But Lord, you are. Just speak the word from where you are. This is a long-distance miracle. Jesus didn't even have to go to the house. Just spoke the word. Just say the word from where you are. The power of a spoken word. If you need a miracle this summer, make sure you're speaking only the word. I read this verse of scripture as a young man, and I thought it was misworded. It's in Hebrews 1, verse 3. It says, He upholds all things by the word of His power. And I thought for sure, no, it's wrong there. It's backwards. It should say, He upholds all things by the power of His word. But I read it. I researched it. And no, the writer got it right. He upholds things by the word of His power. The Amplified Bible says it like this. He drives, He maintains, and He propels the entire physical and spiritual universe by His powerful word. The word of God is so powerful, there was nothing but darkness until He said, let there be light. And a switch was tripped. And you've heard me say this before, everything that is physical and visible is influenced by that which is spiritual and invisible. It begins with a word. Just speak the word from where you are right. Well, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where I need to be. Well, speak the word from where you are. Don't speak doubt and unbelief. If I were God, I'd look the other way when I heard my children complaining about me. I'm just saying, if I were God. All of you have something to be thankful for. That Carl is not your God. Don't you hate being misquoted, misrepresented? If you have a particular position on any subject, don't you hate it when people say you think different and you said different and you know, I did not say that. That is not true about me. Well, how would God feel if we ramble on with our mouth and release words that He didn't say and accuse Him of saying it? Well, you just say the word from where you are. Yes, and that mess you're in. No, it's not glory yet. It's a mess still. But just speak the word in the middle of the mess. Speak the word and speak the word only. The word of God is powerful even in your mouth when you speak it. God calls things which do not exist as though they already do. God called the darkness light. God called the water wine. God called the crooked path straight. God called the dead man alive. God called the storm peace. Just speak the word from where you are. Now, the spiritual man and the natural man are always contrary one to another. The flesh, the natural man, cannot receive the things that are of the Spirit. And so the natural part of us lives by the cliche. You've heard it all your life. I'll believe it when I see it. Now, that's not right. I'm just saying, if you take a course in college, a physics course, they will teach you that. You know, we've got to have proof before we can claim something. If I can see it, then I'll believe it. But no, the Spirit is not that way. The flesh says, see it first and then say it. But the Spirit says, say it first, then see it. You just speak the word. You don't have to go around lying. Just speak what God's word says is true about you and about your situation. It's a powerful thing, the spoken word of God. Jesus said, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. Jesus said he will have whatever he says. So it's the power of the spoken word. Now, a lot of church people don't get that, and none of the Jews in Israel got it either. That's shocking to me, for Jesus was a Jew. He came to the Jews first. He gave his life, his ministry, ministering to the Jews. This is before the bridge was built to reach the Gentile world. He was a Jew coming, they thought, to redeem the Jews and set the Jews free from Roman persecution. And yet, more faith was found in this Roman centurion than in any Jew that had been listening to him teach for 3 years. The power of our faith and the power of the spoken word. This centurion knew enough about Jesus, called him Lord, even though he was an outsider, and said, "You don't even need to come to my house. Oh, the need is in my house. Oh, I got a need in my house. But you don't need to come under my roof. All you've got to do is just say the word from where you are. You say it first, and then I'll see it." That's great faith. Whoever says to this mountain, have you talked to your mountain lately? What are you saying to your mountain? Are you saying to your mountain every day when you get up and see it, "Well, just like I thought when I went to bed last night, you'd be right here again this morning, and there you are, just like I expected"? Some of us are not talking right to our mountain. Now, we're a weird bunch of people. The Bible calls us peculiar, so we have a license. We can get out there, and I'm not promoting weirdness at all, because usually I'm not weird. But I will tell you this, I'm peculiar enough, I speak to mountains. We'll talk to a mountain, son. We'll tell that mountain where to go. And the mountain either needs to go to the sea or to go back to hell. But you tell the mountain, you talk to your mountain. Jesus said it. Would we believe it anymore if we had been in the crowd that day when he said to the disciples that, if we had been one of those disciples in the crowd that day hearing him when he said, "You can speak to a mountain. If you don't doubt in your heart, whatever you say to that mountain, you'll have whatever you say." Would we believe it any more if we had been there that day than we do now when we're just reading it in his word? Well, we shouldn't. His word's forever settled, and he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it was true in his day when he spoke it, it's true today when we quote him. So be careful how you address your mountain and what you say to it. Then there have been times in my life, just a few, and you have your own testimony. I know you know what it's like. When I've needed a miracle, things were dark instead of light. I was just powering through and my faith was working, or else I'd be gone. I'm running on faith only. I see nothing that I need. The only thing I got going for me is my faith in God. I just know he's going to get me through this. And I've said the right thing. And the moment I said the right thing, I knew it was the truth when I said it. I knew it was the truth when I said it. Now, those of you, and I won't tell this story again, wait for my book, it's coming out. The title of my book is Don't Get Me Started. It's going to be made into a movie, and Tom Cruise is going to play me. So I won't tell you the whole story. It'll be a chapter. But years ago, when God called my family and me to Latvia for a year, Everything fell right into place. As soon as we knew it's God that we moved to Latvia and stay a year and start a church. The place had been communist. They were hungry for God. Didn't have a pastor over there. Didn't have a Christian church other than Russian Orthodox and Catholic. And even during communism, the communists let the Catholic church continue. And so we go over, had a crusade, and it was marvelous. And I wound up moving for, as soon as we knew God wanted us to move over for a year and start a church, I knew, oh, okay, we can sell the house, get enough money, that's good, pay off our debt, be free, we'll go for 1 year, come back. And as soon as we announced what God had said to the church, as soon as on a Sunday morning, many years ago, I stood up and said, I need you all to know God is calling me and my family to the other side of the world for a year. We're going to start a church in a city that does not have a gospel church there, and they're hungry for the gospel. Well, everybody in the church knew that was God. Nobody got mad. Nobody left the church. Everybody knew. That's the way God leads. The Bible says we all hear the same thing. We all say the same thing. We're all in one mind and one accord. When God is truly in it, every true believer hears the same thing. So the whole church was celebrating, and my natural plan, this is how we're going to do it. Within 2 weeks, my plan fell totally apart. I was way out on a limb. I had already announced publicly, well, we're leaving for a year. I had my plan. Have you ever had a plan? It was a good plan. You knew it was good. I mean, you had it figured out, every detail. And all of a sudden, it was like the rug was pulled right out from under you and your plan. That's what happened to me. We had 4 months before we were leaving. 4 months. And the first 2 months came and went, and darkness was still. I was choking to death. And very few people knew. But my wife's father, God love him, he didn't want us to go anyway, I don't think, because we were taking his grand girls away for a year and going to the evil empire, what Ronald Reagan had called it. And so he called me 2 months into our 4 months. And he said, son, I know you're in trouble. You've already publicly announced it and everything, but I just wanted to call today and ask you. Now, you got to remember, I'm feeling the pressure. I mean, oh, God, I don't know. I'm going to have to apologize to everybody. I'm going to have to get up and say, well, ain't no way. I mean, I can't obey God, or I miss God, or I'm questioning so much right then. And then he called. I just called. I wanted to ask now, if you don't get a miracle, are you willing to delay your departure? And when he asked me that, still in the middle of the darkness, I opened my mouth and I was shocked by what came out. I said to him, no, sir, we're not going to be 1 day late. We're not even going to wait and take the next flight later. At 11:50 a.m. on January the 19th, we are out of here. And I knew it was the truth when I said it. Everything changed right then. Some of you just need to start saying the right thing. And all of a sudden, your faith will reach a place to where you realize, I knew it was the truth when I heard myself say it. And everything changed. That week, everything changed. People called me, blessed me. I was in the grocery store buying a loaf of bread. I was on the bread aisle and met this man who was buying bread. And we started talking, and he found out I was a pastor, and he said, are you the pastor who's moving your family to Russia for a year? I said, yeah, that's me. He said, hold on a minute. He pulled out his checkbook right there in the bread aisle of the grocery store. the other churches in Florence started calling me. And that never happened. They didn't want to hear from me. They said, hey, can you come over here and speak on a Sunday night? We want to receive an offering for you to help you get over there. I think they wanted me to leave town. It all started when I just said the word from where I was. And I knew it was the truth when I said it. When I realized I can't wait to see it first and then say it, I've got to say it first and then I'll see it. That's the way faith works. Now and then finally, he said, I'm a man under authority. That's so very important. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he delegated a measure to each of us. How we handle the measure he gives to us, how responsible we are, how faithful we are with the measure, determines the increase and our kingdom promotion. And we would go a long way in receiving the miracle we need this summer if we had a better understanding of the principle of authority. God respects authority. He is a God of authority. He rules and governs with spiritual authority. I am convinced that how we respect God's authority makes every difference in our receiving all of his goodness that he wants for us. There have been times, when we look around, be sure they're not here today. I don't think they are. But if they are, they know I'm talking about them. But there have been times in the history of our church where we've had young men just full of anger, full of bitterness, some of them against their own natural father. And it had twisted their perception of God as a heavenly father. I remember, and I hope they're not here today. I better look real close. But it's a good story. They ended up all right, but they were in rebellion. They were not submitted to authority. Hey, there are only two choices. Submission to God's authority or rebellion against it and surrendering to satanic authority. Only two. No fence to straddle very long. And so we've seen young boys grow up in the church, they're full of rebellion. And one was full of the devil. And I mean, and it's he's set free today. But here's how he got set free. He went into the army. And buddy, you will respect authority. And I've seen it over and over. Young men struggling with authority. Young teenagers struggling with authority. And we couldn't teach them authority. They wouldn't listen in church. They wouldn't listen in Sunday school. They wouldn't listen to the mama or the daddy. They wouldn't listen to the boss man, even the police officer. Wouldn't listen to him. But they signed up for the army, and they'd go off, and 3 months later, they'd come back in here, and I'd see a different person. And I learned early on, that's what authority will do. That's what being able to say, I am a man under authority, will do for you. This centurion had every right in the natural to brag and stroke his ego. He could have said to Jesus, I'm a man like you. I'm in authority. I've got 100 men under me. I say, go. But no, he didn't. He said, I'm like you. I'm a man under authority. And Jesus was under the authority of the Father. Jesus said, I hear what my Father says, and I say only what I hear him say. Jesus said, the works that I do, the Father does. I see what he does, and then I do it for you to watch me and to see how it works. A lot of at-risk young men and women, the only help they got was being placed in a position to where authority was the rule of the day. And when they got it, their life was straightened up. The principle of authority is powerful. Now, when you make peace with authority, you become authority. When you make peace with authority, you become authority. John Bevere said, if you don't stand in the authority God has given you, someone will take it from you and use it against you. So authority is that powerful. We receive authority, and as we're faithful and responsible with the measure we receive, we increase in that authority. Every right decision you make causes your spiritual authority to increase. Every wrong decision you make causes your spiritual authority to decrease. Dr. Caudle asked the question, where does the devil get his power? And he answered it, from our wrong choices. So stand in the authority God has given you. And then in verse 13, the request became a reality. Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you. Because you believed, it has happened. The Message translation said, what you believed could happen has happened. That's how powerful faith is. What you believed could happen is exactly what has happened. And so these are principles as we follow the model of yet another miracle Jesus performed. This is your summer for a miracle. All of us need one. Some of us need more than one. And we're learning from the way Jesus performed his miracles how we can align ourselves with the authority of his word and receive the miracle we need. And hopefully when the summer is over and you've received the miracle you've been believing for, the word of the Lord to you will be this: because you believed, it has happened. The word of the Lord at the end of the summer for all of us could be this: what you believed could happen has happened. I'm planning on a party at the end of the summer when all of us get the miracle we're believing God for. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand.